It's Wednesday and time for Current State's Neighbors in Action segment, where we feature people and organizations working to make our community a better place. Today we feature the CASA for Kids in Eaton and Barry counties. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children. Here to tell us more is Becky Carson, the Executive Director of CASA for Kids in Eaton and Barry counties. Welcome to Current State, Becky.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate being here.
Sure. Tell us a little more about the work you do here, CASA for Kids. You're part of a national organization, I understand.
Correct. CASA, the full mission of CASA is to advocate for the best interest of children in the foster care system. So we train volunteers from the community, general community, as advocates, and their role is solely to advocate for what is in the child's best interest so that they're receiving the kind of services that they need to receive, as well as the most appropriate, safe, and caring permanent home. CASA is started from as in Seattle, Washington, actually, when a judge felt that they were receiving a lot of different treatments through the same treatment plans, I guess you would say, on every single child. And knowing that every child has different individual needs, he started training volunteers and appointing them to children. So the volunteers are actually appointed as an officer of the court. And that volunteer's role was to be appointed to one child or a sibling group, one case, essentially. And they would advocate for that child to make sure that they were receiving the kind of services they need, that their needs were met, and that they were working towards the most appropriate placement, which was either reunification with the parents or possibly termination of the parents' rights, and then eligibility for adoption. Mm-hmm. So,
well, go a little bit deeper with us. Tell us what is it that your volunteers offer these kids? More specifically, what is it that they are offering that they're most often not getting?
Volunteers, and it's actually a pretty extensive role. The volunteer, they end up being appointed to an individual child, and they will visit that child every 7 to 10 days in the home, develop a relationship with the child, which is a supportive relationship, doing activities, sometimes in a sort of mentoring capacity, getting to know the child's needs. They end up talking with the foster parents or wherever the child is placed, as well as teachers or other professionals that are working with the child to kind of understand the child's needs and to be able to, they end up writing a court report that goes to the judge. They attend court, provide court testimony, and their whole role is really just to make sure that all of the child's needs are being met and working towards the most appropriate placement.
What kinds of issues do these kids most often present when you connect with them?
Almost every child
Is it isolation? Are they not connected to an adult on a regular basis?
Well, some of the real extensive needs that children in foster care always have is they've been through abusive situations, abuse or neglect, substance abuse, just a lot of different impact that trauma has on children. And so counseling is also always something that is important for children to have. Children in foster care, and they even once they get into foster care, in addition to needing a lot of supportive and counseling services to address their needs, they frequently will move from place to place.
Yeah.
And so most children that I know, worked in a system for 20 years, most kids that I know have probably had 4 to 5 moves during the time that a year and a half period. And so those are losses. And so anytime that a child has a loss, they've lost their biological family, they have to address the loss issues there in rejection. And then every time that they have another placement change, that's another loss in relationships. So kids in the system frequently have trouble developing healthy relationships and attachments.
Yeah.
So that's a really huge thing. And one of the benefits that CASA provides is the CASA volunteer is consistent. They're appointed in the beginning of a court case when the child comes into care, and then they remain with that child until the case essentially closes and either the child is adopted or reunified with a parent. Most kids have, in addition to a lot of placement changes, they also have a lot of caseworker transition. That's a very high turnover job, high stress job, and so most children have had multiple caseworkers as well.
So you offer continuity is what
Correct.
You're saying.
Right.
Becky Carson is the executive director of CASA for Kids in Eaton and Barry counties. We're talking about her work out there. Can you give us a sense of how many abused and neglected kids there are in Eaton and Barry counties?
Absolutely. There are generally 110 on a month-to-month basis in Eaton County and 60 on a month-to-month basis in Berry County, approximately. So between the two counties, there's usually around 170 children in foster care.
Is there a story that comes to mind that captures why you do the work you do?
Yeah, we have a wonderful volunteer who began working. She was appointed to a young boy who was 7. And when she started with him, I think she wasn't really sure that it was making that much of a difference. He was not someone who wanted to talk about any of the abuse or anything that happened in his life. But she came week after week to visit with him, get to know him, develop a relationship, and play games with him. And he was safe in the placement that he was placed in. As the mom was working with services, kind of minimally, there were a lot of concerns and issues with the parent. He was removed due to a lot of substance abuse issues. But she was working to address some of those things, minimally, especially more so when she realized her rights were about to be terminated. Hmm. And they extended the time and started to have visits that were unsupervised. And this provoked a lot of anxiety for the little boy, who really hadn't shared a lot of the history prior, and I think essentially because he felt safe in the home that he was in. So at this point, he actually began sharing those concerns with the volunteer, because the volunteer was someone who had been with him all along and had developed that relationship. And the information that was shared was pretty integral in changing the direction of the court case, so that they were working towards, they pulled back on the visits, and then, and as they began looking into all these issues, the case direction changed to termination of the mom's rights. And that was very significant in that later on the mom ended up overdosing and passed away of an overdose. So very significant that, you know, the volunteer was able to intervene in that capacity. And in addition to that, the relational continuity and the relationship that the volunteer provides to the child is also something that is just so needed for kids in the system. Yeah. And like this particular woman, the young boy just really, really enjoyed. She almost became part of the family.
Yeah.
He invited her to Grandparents' Day at school. So it was someone that he considered, you know, so close to him. She's almost kind of considered part of the family.
Uh-huh.
So that's something that's really an exceptional benefit for children in foster care. And the boundaries are a little bit different than someone in a professional role. So even after, and he's now in the process of being adopted by a relative, very happy in the home that he's in. So, but I'm sure after that case closes completely and adoption is finalized, I'm sure that she will be able to remain involved in his life in some capacity. So, and that's also a benefit that's available. So,
tell us where your funding comes from.
We are about 50% of our funding is through the county, and the rest of that, which is a little over 50%, we raise. So it's a combination of United Way funds. We're funded through Berry, Eaton, and Capital Area United Way, as well as grant funding. Right now, Capital Region Community Foundation, Gannett Foundation, Jackson National Community Fund are some of our grantors. And as well as fundraising events, we have 3 fundraising events that we do each year. One coming up is the 22nd annual golf scramble in Hastings, and we have that coming up May 31st. So, significant right now, we're actually raising money to be able to add on an additional staff so that we can serve more children. In Eaton County, the judge and referee refer to CASA. To have a CASA volunteer on every single case. So the demand is significant.
How encouraging.
Yeah.
You're reliant on volunteers, obviously. How much training, how much preparation do you give your volunteers?
They go through a 7-week training process, so it's pretty extensive, where it combines with court observation as well. So there's about 40 hours of training that they go through before they become a CASA volunteer. Covers a lot of different areas, like the issues that are common for children that have experienced abuse or neglect, the type of families that they come from, how to interact with professionals in the system, collaborate with the DHS workers and caseworkers, communicate, advocate effectively in court, write court reports. So it's pretty extensive training.
And if we've probably got a few mm-hmm. people listening who might sure. consider volunteering, if people are interested, what can they do?
They could go to our website, www.barryeatoncasa.org, and it gives information about how to contact our organization. The phone number is 517-543-7500, extension 1648.
Very good. BarryEatonCasa.org is the website, and Becky Carson is the executive director of CASA for Kids in Eaton and Barry counties. Becky, thanks for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We could always use more nominations, and we know there are people and organizations out there doing excellent work. We need to know about them, though. Please help us out and tweet us suggestions at KAR Current State, or send us an email to currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work they do.